We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, April 17th. I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
And I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie Class 2015.
And before we really get too far into the podcast, I did want to say just a quick thoughts and prayers for our friends over at in Tallahassee today with the shooting that took place on Camp Florida State. Horrible situation going on over there. And we just want to give our support for everybody that's involved and just wanted to state that before we really got rolling here.
Yeah, senseless, man.
Yeah, just unfortunate situation. But pivot, rewind, move forward, whatever we're doing, we're moving on into the podcast today, folks. So plenty to get into this week. I think number one, the first thing I kind of wanted to talk about was this whole Nico situation going on in college football. Did you? I'm sure you saw the numbers.
it's just a complete mess. There's so many layers to this story. The stuff coming out that, he was threatening to not play in the playoffs until he got more money, and which is just despicable in my mind. They basically are all about to break camp, and they're starting. Quarterback has decided that he's just not going to be around next year because of just sheer greed. And I get that, like, these players should get paid, but you cannot convince me that there's a single college quarterback right now on the market worth $4 million. But so he, announces he's entering the transfer portal. It comes out that he has a helicopter dad who's basically been the driver of all this mess.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up signing with UCLA because even Tulane was like, we're good. He signs with UCLA, and then the breakdown of the numbers from what he's actually going to end up getting between taxes and the ridiculous state tax in California, he's now sub $1 million. Maybe it's hopefully it's lesson learned kind of thing. I mean, you're talking about $3 million off the mark from where you first wanted to be. It's interesting. I had a talk this morning after the fan show with Matt Dawson. He's one of the interns up at Tex-Aggs. And, he follows this NIL stuff really closely. And it was interesting kind of what Texas did as far as NIL within the state. There used to be a financial literacy requirement that they have now removed. What the state of Texas did is they just removed a whole bunch of stuff so they can add to it later. It was really kind of a weird approach.
Yeah.
But my thing is... you're going in the wrong direction with that for me because another thing, there was an age limit in Texas. So if somebody reclassified, he couldn't get an NIL deal as a freshman if he stayed in state. So like he's gone basically.
Right.
But for me, I don't care so much about an age restriction because I mean, somebody reclassifies, that's fine. And they're worthy of an NIL deal, we need to start using that phrase a little bit more loosely because it's not an NIL deal. These guys aren't signing to do commercials and promote and do advertising. They're just getting paid. But I think that a financial literacy course should be mandatory to get an NIL deal.
Sure.
I don't care what age you are and what the deal is. I think you should have to take a financial literacy course to get an NIL deal. That's kind of my take on that. But it really has just this whole saga, basically, is what you can call it. Has really showed the gross underbelly of the entire NCAA approach and current monitoring of the NIL system.
Yeah.
And, and in no way is that me saying I don't think players should get paid. That's me saying there's got to be some borders, man. You got to put the bumpers up on this stuff and you've got to get this figured out. And it just doesn't seem like they're in any sort of like heading in a direction that they are going to get anything fixed or figured out. And this goes back to when they first started it. And this probably used this phrase a million times, but you let the toothpaste out of the tube, you're not putting it back in, and it was reckless the way they rolled it out. And now they're figuring out that they really have no control and you can't, you can't really reel it back in. I mean, all you can do is put guide rails on this thing. And even then, every single one of those guide rails is going to be kind of pushed around and challenged. And then another interesting thing, we were just all in the lobby there at TxAg, so just kind of a smattering of people talking. And OB brought it up to where, it's going to get to the point where you have to call them employees. And this was the point OB thought it was really fascinating. Well, they're employees, and they so they're employees, they get, room and board, they get access to the dining facilities. What about the other employees of the university? And I think you'll see at some point when some sort of large enough group at some university of employees figures it out and gets together, they're going to be able to start bringing lawsuits against schools and be like, well, why can't I use that dining facility? It's if we're all employees now, then we all have, equal rights to access across the board, correct?
It is an absolute mess.
Yeah. This is one of those, it's like a what if. Like, you can just keep going on and on and on and on about all the terrible things that can happen from this.
But one thing that was not terrible, one thing I really did appreciate about the early portion of this whole deal was number one, Dan Lanning coming forward and being like, hey, this kid's trying to shop around, like just being very open about it. And then number two, Tennessee not bending the knee in the situation, because the moment that a larger institution does that, oh, it sets such a terrible precedent going forward. We can't have that.
Big props to Tennessee for standing their ground, quite frankly. All this coming out after the fact about what he was demanding last year, or in the playoffs, just, technically, I guess, this calendar year. But for that to come out is, I'm glad Tennessee told him to take a hike. Tennessee
Same.
basically said, we'll figure it out. And it's so funny to hear the dad backtrack about, like, well, we just wanted the offense to change and this and that. Like, dude, that coach has put quarterbacks in the league. Like, you need to focus on playing football. And you start to wonder whether or not, I mean, do these kids even like playing anymore? I mean, are they just in it for the money?
Well, I mean, it was the whole thought process with college originally, right? It's like that is the next step. You know, it's like, okay, you come from this massive pool of people in high school to a finite pool that can actually compete with the shot to actually make it to the professional level. And even then, you have to go to a finite pool from there. So it's like you get up one step of the ladder, and all of a sudden, you just have opportunity. You know, you're skipping multiple steps in order to get the money that you see that you've feel like you've earned at this point, just coming straight out of high school. And I understand, we've talked about it plenty of times, but these big universities, like A&M and the rest of the SEC, Big 12, whoever, right? All of these institutions, yeah, they're big money places. But I mean, reality is with a lot of these kids, if they actually want to see some growth, they don't necessarily have to fight for what they were trying to do, like you had to do back in the day. Like you actually, you can just, I mean, the fact that Arch was making more money on the bench than the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, that is actually insane for this
Yeah,
stuff.
it's out of control. But I mean, unless you're Oregon, there's one thing that's kind of gone by the wayside in this. But unless you're Oregon, no matter who you are, you have a finite amount of money. All right, there's no literally Oregon's the only one that gets to continue to funnel into their revenue.
Thanks, Nike.
That's it, really. And so, it's gonna come. There's gonna come a breaking point, and the question is legislation or the breaking point gonna come first?
Well, I
And
guess
that's,
we'll see.
yeah, and nobody knows, right? It, because the legislation isn't even set. There's still more coming out in July, and the stuff that is in place is ineffective at best. Incomplete would probably be a better way to put it. And so it's. I mean, we're not going to see it this year or anything, but we're going to see it when a lot of schools are starting to get to the point where, like, the market will adjust itself, basically. Like, otherwise, or is it, it's just going to be like the NFL, where now we're at the point where quarterbacks are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Like, that's not that, that's complete play money. My suggestion would be what my suggestion for the pros has been all along, is where there just needs to be a base salary. And everything needs to be incentive based. Like, we'll give you a deal, and quite frankly, I think it should be NCAA wide.
Well, and that's honestly a smart way to go about it because, I mean, that's actually going to one, potentially how you enforce it, right? That will encourage people to stay where they're at because you know that there's growth opportunity. And I understand people wanting to go and try to find their route, especially if they know they're not getting a lot of playing time. But,
I get it.
you know, but I mean, that's not what was going on with Nico. I mean, that's a starting quarterback. I mean, the dude just was vying for a deal.
Yeah, that was just a ridiculous situation. And the problem with, see, the only problem with like a base salary is not all schools are created equal. So, I
Right.
mean, do you have a base salary at the P4 level, and then Group of Five has a lower base salary? Like, I mean, that would probably be how it would have to work out.
Yeah.
I mean, because the reality is, if you go to a big school and you're not playing, though, you're not going to get an NIL deal. Whereas, if you went to a Group of Five school, went to a smaller school, get some playing time, and see if you can't work your way back into a bigger deal. It's almost like going from the majors to the minors. You're not playing, so they send you down to the farm, and you actually get to play every day. You perform, and then next thing you know, you're getting brought back up. So it's on an annual basis, and not on a as you're performing kind of thing, but. It's just there are just so many layers to this, and it's really just such a mess, quite frankly.
It is. So that was something I wanted to bring up and chat about for a minute. Well, we were able to sort through that. Looking ahead, so right now softball's going on.
Yeah, they're at 3-1, bottom of the fourth. Emily Kennedy got the start. The Mizzou pitcher got pulled early.
Well, she threw 38 pitches in the first inning.
Yeah, well, she wasn't locating her off speed. I mean, then all people are going to do is sit dead red. But yeah, Missouri's at the bottom of the league, but yeah, they were a super regional team last year. I mean, they
Yeah.
hosted a super regional last year. So I don't really know what all is going on in Columbia, because that's a pretty severe drop off to go from, hosting a super regional to being 1-12 in conference play, because that's where they're sitting right now.
Yeah.
And then both diamonds, affected by weather this weekend. So softball is playing a doubleheader today. So both of them will be 2-day series. Softball's got a doubleheader today, and they'll finish up tomorrow. And they even moved the game time up, I believe. And then baseball tonight, and then doubleheader tomorrow.
Yep.
So softball, we can be pretty brief. Obviously, congratulations, first time ever, number one, and unanimous, which makes all the sense in the world. I mean, if you're watching softball, they're number one. And it's combined how they look, how they play, and then also who they beat and who in front of them lost. That's how rankings beat.
Yeah, I mean, you sweep number six LSU at home,
That's
and
a monster.
well, and here's, I mean, I hadn't realized this particular stat. This was the first time we've ever swept them.
Yep. And
I
it's
mean,
only the third series win, I believe.
so that's impressive for the ladies. Very, props to them for pulling off a really, really solid series win at home. And then, try not allow yourself to have a, letdown today. I mean, you've got two games and a shortened little series, so that can always get a little wonky, but, you're up early in your first game, so just rock and roll, do what you got to do in these next few games.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time this season that they've had to deal with doubleheaders.
Right.
And the biggest thing is, don't know if I would necessarily would call it a letdown, because Missouri still has a lot of talent. For some reason, they're not putting it together this year. So, like, winning two out of three would be just fine. You're on the road. There's zero reason for panic. I will say I've got it flipped on. I'm peeking at it. This home plate ump is atrocious.
Gotta love them. Gotta love them.
Yeah, we so we went to the game on Saturday, actually. Oh, just beautiful weather to be on the diamond.
Oh.
Went to the game on Saturday, hopped in the truck, turned on the Aggie baseball game, and I was like, yeesh. But got home, watched the game. They were clawing back. Because I think it was about the seventh inning when I flipped it on, like when we actually finally got to our truck. Or it might have been the seventh inning by the time we got out of West Campus. But yeah, so just a bonkers, just completely crazy, insane weekend at Olsen.
Yeah.
There,
And
I just
against South Carolina, once again, I feel like South Carolina series at Olsen's always a little goofy. There's something weird going on. There's some kind of crazy comeback. There's some kind of back and forth. I mean, it's an interesting little series that's happened between us and the Cox over the last several series, which is always fun. But you go in, you take care of your business, you sweep them, and I won't say like overly convincing fashion. You had to walk them off twice, but game two, I mean, you run roll them, look good doing it, and then you pull off something that had not been accomplished in a game at either the MLB or the NCAA level by getting two grand slams in the ninth inning to end up winning the game. And I went back and watched that inning in particular. I watched all the highlights because we were off in Tyler, but I went and watched that ninth inning specifically. And man, the South Carolina pitchers, I mean, they were getting rattled. It was a tough deal, but A&M did what they had to do to pull off a sweep in a tough situation, and they turn around and they put 11 on Tarleton. Now you're facing Arkansas, number two team in the country, coming off of a tough series loss on the road at Georgia, looking to get a little bit of bounce back this week. But once again, shortened to 2 days. And generally, I like the doubleheader on the road because at the end of the day, I look at this particular series and I'm happy with the win. I'm ecstatic with the series win. If we somehow sweep, I mean, it's all off, all hands on deck at that point. But at this stage, happy to take a win, and in a doubleheader situation, I like it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team that's 24-1 at home. I mean, that's just impressive. It doesn't matter who's coming in your park to lose 1 out of 4% of your home games you've lost. So it's a very, very tall task in Fayetteville this weekend.
It is.
But it all starts tonight, and Coach Early was talking about it on an interview earlier today, just about, and he got asked. Zane asked him about. What's going on with Prager, basically. I mean, he didn't say it that way, but basically he was like, what the hell, man?
Right.
And it's weird. Like, Prager's been getting roughed up in conference, and not like, leaving in the second inning kind of thing.
No.
But there's just something going on with Prager, and I'm just not a pitching mechanic guy enough to know what's going on.
Sure.
So if I could figure out he was tipping his pitches, I probably would be employed by some sort of baseball entity, one way or the other. But it's just something they got to continue to work on. Now, granted, if you're giving up 4 runs a start, but with the way this offense is playing, we can deal with that. It's just if the offense goes dormant at all, it's tough. And so I don't know if, we talked about it when they were still kind of in their slump. Is he pressing, like the hitters were. When we were playing poorly, we talked about the hitters and even in the field having to press. You would think that he'd have a little bit more confidence and wouldn't have to press, knowing how the offense and the bats are going. But now I really need to pull my weight, and he's pushing himself a little too. I just don't know. And so tonight will be another interesting start, just to keep an eye on and see how Prager deals with what is obviously a very powerful and very effective lineup, and in a hostile environment.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Fayetteville's not been kind to us in the last, basically, really ever. But we've had our moments in that ballpark. Would love, once again, would love to see us pull out a game. And that's a big ask. And I know,
100%. Where we're at, we can't get swept.
no, we can't get swept. I mean, at this stage of the season, I mean, we were looking ahead at the schedule. You take a game from Arkansas, if you can find a way to take two in Austin, even, right?
Well, if you can get two wins between Arkansas and Texas,
Sure.
like honestly, even if it's both 1 and 2 in the series, or you get swept in one but you win the other series.
Yeah.
If you can get two out of those six, obviously everything else looks a lot easier than Arkansas or Texas.
Right. I mean, you have LSU, but they're coming here. Right. And then you've got
Right.
Missouri, who is also coming here and has not exactly looked like world beaters this season.
Their baseball and their softball are kind of mired in the same thing right now.
They are. And then after that, I mean, you do have a series with Georgia. And once again, not a bad Georgia team. by any means, a good offensive Georgia team. They just beat Arkansas. But, and we have to go to Athens for that matchup. And that's a late, it's late season. There's going to be probably some high pressure in order for us to even have a really good shot of securing our spot in the postseason at that point. So you've got to lead in with a lot of confidence over these next two series. And, if you can pull out two games out of those six, great. If you can pull off even more, I'm going to feel pretty happy. If you find a way to win both of these series, oh boy.
And again, this is a lot of looking for, but we're fans, so we're allowed to do it. If you're able to win both of those series, then all of a sudden you've got the Aggie baseball team that we all thought we had. And that's without Grohovac. That's without, what's his name, the pitcher, Stewart.
Yep. I mean, that's without Sadeo.
Without Shane. Yeah, so you're
Right.
missing huge keys to your roster. And if you're able to pull that off, but again, it's Texas won't matter if we get our doors blown off in Fayetteville. So it's for
Right.
them, they really have to be where their boots are. I mean, they have to be in the moment, in the like they're and I get it. Like they're athletes, they're borderline professional athletes. We've got some on that squad that are absolutely going to be in the bigs.
Man.
But
Wild.
it's and I get it's it just feels like once the offense started going, the team started having fun again, and the more fun they had, the better they're getting.
Right. And whether that's, in the dugout shenanigans, which I feel like anytime we've got dugout shenanigans, things are going fairly well. But the fact is, the guys look like they're having fun and they're playing with confidence. And above all, they're zero quit when they're in those situations. Like the guys are fighting for it. And, maybe that was not the case early in the season. Maybe it was. Maybe we just weren't really seeing what they were seeing. But it feels like there's just a lot more, there's a lot more of a dog in them right now. And I love that.
We didn't see, and again, you talk about dugout shenanigans. It's a game. Like you should be having fun. And I get that, like when you're winning, it's always fun, right? It's super easy to be in a great mood when you're winning. But there is something to be said for a team, and baseball or softball, quite frankly, or extrapolate this however you want to other sports, that is down 12-2 and doesn't just go, you know what, we won the series. Because you could tell, like, that happens. Those weird Sunday games that get the lopsided Sunday games, and it just kind of seems like the other team's like, man, we won the series. But that game right there shows that they understand that they're up against it, and every single game is important. And for them to, and South Carolina, obviously, they had some issues on the bump, but they didn't give that game to us. I mean, A&M crawled back and punched and scratched and kicked. And stayed in it, because the other side of that is that they were able to, sounds funny, but once they got to 12, they were able to keep them there, kind of thing.
Well, and I mean that was true. I mean, you got the relief pitching when you needed it the most in that situation. You put your guys in a place where they had a shot to come back, and you relied on your bats to do their job. And they were patient at the plate. They made them throw the balls that they wanted. And you had a grand slam to cut the lead to one with no outs. Like that takes some discipline, and I love that we saw that from the guys. Hopefully we don't find ourselves in that situation this weekend, but you do, unfortunately, with Arkansas, they are a good team, and regardless of where we stand, there's still a bit of a target on us because we were preseason number one, and everybody wants to dunk on that. I get it.
Oh, yeah,
I would want
absolutely.
to. I want to. They're number two now. They were number one. Texas is currently number one, assuming they don't shit the bed this weekend, they'll be number one next week. So, you just got to go out there and do your job. And so far, like I said, over the last few weeks, there's not much to complain about on the effort front. Yes, there's plenty to complain about, maybe with what we're seeing out of some of the starting pitching, what we've seen out of some of the relief, but I can't fault the bats. They've figured it out, at least from what we've been able to see.
Yeah, offense really hasn't, it's kind of flip-flopped, quite frankly.
It has.
So hopefully the pitching can come back around, and not that they're in the barrel or anything. It's not like they're just absolutely terrible. I mean, Yeah, South Carolina's got talent. There's going to be those weird games where you're going to give up 8, 10, 12 runs. But honestly, for them to be able to, it's an unbelievable. It's ridiculous to even think about it.
Well,
Like,
let's take away the no-hitter for a minute. You take away, all right, so after the no-hitter, through now, what's the least amount of runs we've scored in a game? Do you know?
I guess maybe seven.
Eight.
No.
8 runs is the least amount that we've scored in a game, and we won that game. That was the walk-off against South Carolina on the first night. I mean, we're putting up double-digit runs in a lot of these games. So, I mean, you like to see that. And you like to see that they're not necessarily all grand slams. They are strung together hits. They're well-placed hits. And like the things that we've been calling for all season, we're starting to see it, and that's nice.
Well, and it's in conference too.
So yeah, in
I mean,
conference of all places.
yeah, you're doing this against SEC pitching, so this just it's literally one game at a time. It still is,
It is.
because of the hole that we dug. That's just what it is, and whatever they found, man, I hope they bottled it, man. Because obviously, if they keep playing like this, then all that talk that was happening a month ago about Coach Early and this and that is it just completely goes out the window. And quite frankly, I think it's already out the window.
It is, from what I mean, what you've seen, right? I mean, there's very few individuals, especially on the Twitterverse, that are still actively kind of poking the bear on that front. But most people have kind of come back around. And I mean, I get it. People get frustrated when you're losing. We got frustrated when we were losing. It happens.
Well, it's not just losing, it's having the expectations that we did coming into the season and then their performance therein. Yeah, that's I think that's where we weren't just disappointed or frustrated. Like it's just everything kind of all at once. So there was a lot of flares of tempers, man. There was a whole lot of people calling for heads and a whole lot of craziness. And I mean, we even discussed it, like, what's his future here? And I think what we said was, if he stays on this same track, I don't see how they keep him. Well, he's nowhere near the same track, bro.
Right.
Like,
He hit the switch. He switched the tracks.
this ain't even the same train, man.
No,
Like,
we're
so this is it, it's and it's been a blast. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's been a blast to watch, obviously.
I have a theory, and I may be wrong, but my thought was potentially did after the no-hitter, did Early kind of say, "Hey, I'm the captain now," in terms of the hitting. You got to wonder, right? Because I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that's what happened, but there was an immediate change when that took place.
Something happened.
Something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a locker room chat. I don't know if somebody got in somebody's face and said, "All right, we got to do something different." I don't know what it was, but something happened after that no-hitter.
The dreaded players only meeting.
Dreaded players only meetings, whatever that may be, but something fundamentally changed with this team. You started seeing them having more fun the very next day.
It was. It's like it's a switch got flipped. I mean, honestly, we talked about it. It's like they were a gambling addict or a drug addict. They just hit apps like apps. Getting no hit run ruled is literally as bad as it gets. Period. Doesn't matter who it's against. I don't care who it's against.
No.
So, I mean that's probably, I mean, for a lot of them, probably the worst they've ever had it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's understandable. I mean, it was on national television. It was embarrassing. Everything about it was just awful. I mean, as far as the view, like basically the view of Aggie baseball as a program after that night was probably the lowest it had been in a long time.
Sunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely sunk.
But and then you yeah, then you turn it up and you go on to win that series in a day. And that's great. Then you followed it up. You took care of your business against South Carolina and you fought for it the whole time. Love that. So here we are. You're heading into Fayetteville. Your game kicks off here in about 2.5 hours.
It's all in front of you. Oh, it's an hour and a half. Aren't they playing at 6 or is it 7?
Think it was 7.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 7 p.m. So they're gonna roll here in about 2.5 hours. So keep an eye on that series. We'll obviously get a chance to chat about that a little bit later.
Just like you said, we still have a target on us because people love other people's failures.
They do.
And you're out of your mind if you don't think that that crowd is going to be rowdy because Arkansas fans don't like us. All right. Arkansas does not like A&M. And a lot of that's because we consistently crap on them pretty much.
Yeah.
They get sick of losing to A&M kind of thing.
They do.
And so this is, this is their chance to rub it in our faces for the year. And
Their last chance, really.
yeah. And so I just fully expect that crowd to be in the parking lots as we speak. We'll put it that
Oh
way.
yeah, no, they've been tailgating for a while. So I mean, a beautiful weekend up there, I'm sure, in Fayetteville. I mean, obviously they're moving everything up. And in regards to that, yes, potentially severe weather on Sunday, not just up there, but regionally, even as far south as here, is looking to potentially be a interesting day on the Easter front. So if you're traveling or if you're in and around, just keep an eye on the skies. Have your weather app ready to go. You never know what might happen.
I know I'm gonna have to put the pop up over the smoker.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going down. So I guess that's a good way to pivot. So, not a lot of questions this week, but I do have a question for you. So Easter plans, and on top of that, what are some of your nice little Easter memories that you've had, maybe recently or early, things that you've enjoyed around Easter time?
As far as Easter plans, got some folks over with smoke a ham. Just do kind of a nice traditional Easter lunch, dinner, kind of in between kind of thing. Easter memories is probably, probably pretty similar to everybody else. Just getting up, going to church, coming home, doing the Easter egg hunt, having a ham, just spending time with the family all day. That's the plan. I've got some, I got stuff put together to give to Kieran and Megan and just enjoy the day. Hopefully the weather will stay at least somewhat timid,
I hope so too.
or at least reasonable. I can deal with reasonable. I mean, worst case scenario, I can do the ham in the oven. But yeah, I'm looking towards a really good weekend. I think a lot of people have half day on Friday, if not a full day off tomorrow. So just hope everybody enjoys it and enjoys, the reason why we have Easter weekend and why we celebrate it.
Same.
But yeah, just we never did anything crazy for Easter. It's just kind of one of those family days. That what's funny is it wasn't a ton different for us really than any other Sunday. Get up, eat breakfast, go to church, and we went to church down at First Baptist. So it was like growing up before they had all the extra, like the Beltway and all that stuff. It was like an hour drive each way going to church. Come home, mom would make lunch, we'd eat lunch, and yes. Saturdays were for yard work. Sundays, there weren't chores on Sundays. And so relax, if we had homework, do homework. Dad fall asleep in the recliner watching golf.
Heck yeah.
Pretty
Speaking of, oh,
standard.
we didn't, it, we don't talk golf a lot on this podcast, but holy cow. Did you watch the final round?
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, I actually had, so once I got home, I had baseball on my phone and I had the Masters up on the TV. And one, I mean, I think I said I'm a big Rory guy. I love Rory. And to see what he's gone through just with the meltdowns and breakdowns on the course and just, this is the one that has always eluded him. And I think we said last week, if you can bomb the ball and you can putt, you can compete at the Masters. You saw Bryson DeChambeau competing out there. The shocker to me, honestly, was Justin Rose. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
Justin was the first golfer you had to beat on the first Tiger Woods golf game ever put out. All right. So that's how long Justin has been on tour.
You've been
So
around.
I don't think anybody on the planet had Justin Rose as finishing, top two, so you're finishing second, runner up at the Masters this year.
Yeah.
So phenomenal job by him. But just to see Rory and then, the emotion of that putt going in and him collapsing on the green. And then juxtapose that with the fact that some of the best pictures of that we got were from Ken Griffey Jr., who was a credentialed photographer at the Masters.
What is it with baseball players being incredible photographers after their career? I mean, Ken
Well,
Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson.
same team guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, same team. I
Same
don't know
team.
what they were doing in spring training, but yeah. So that was just super neat, and see him and his his little girl run out and hug him. And
Yeah, that was awesome.
earlier in the week on Wednesday, his daughter made that putt, on it was 16 or 15, whatever it is, and what a great omen.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy for Rory, career Grand Slam. You could literally just see all the weight of the world lifted off his shoulders when that putt dropped. And it's been, answering the same question over and over and over and over again when it comes to the Masters. I mean, and everybody just finally getting to the point, everybody, even fans, going, is he ever going to get it done? Like, can he ever get over the mental part at Augusta?
Well, and
And
yeah, worked out.
yeah, he finally did. I think I flipped it on the second or third hole where he'd already doubled the first. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go again. And for a fact that he was going, oh my
Oh
God, here we
God, here we
go.
go again. Yeah.
Yeah. So what resilience to be able to overcome an opening double on the first hole of your Sunday round at Augusta. Still faltered enough to have to get to a playoff, although I will say Justin played himself to that playoff too.
He did.
But yeah, just an awesome sports weekend, quite frankly. Like,
It was.
couldn't have got much better.
I mean, I wasn't complaining. I mean, Liverpool guy, right? So, I mean, it was about a perfect sports weekend as I could have asked for on every front. But, man, what an incredible win for Rory. I'm very, very happy for him.
If I were him, I'd take like a month off too. I'd be like, you know what? I'm just gonna decompress.
I mean, it just the videos afterwards. I mean, just verge of tears,
Yeah.
actual tears. I mean, you know, it meant everything in the world to him to do that, do it with his wife, with his daughter. I mean, that's awesome, right? That's what you want to see. So,
Those are the perfect storylines, for sports.
yeah, they
That's
are.
the kind of stuff, like a guy finally pulls it off, it just I mean, even starts the final round with a double, and he's battling back and forth with Bryson, and it made for really great TV. I love the Masters, greatest week of the year, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it was awesome. My girlfriend is gonna get me the information, so we're gonna try to get in the lottery for it. See if we can't potentially go next year. I would love to go.
That's how I ended up going to Scotland. Just entered the lottery.
So we're gonna try that. So pivoting for me, this weekend we're going down to Galveston. Alex is coming for Easter. We're gonna go. That's gonna be a good opportunity to meet the parents. Do a little bit of putzing around, run around the Strand, go grab some good food, and then we're gonna go have our church service down there in Galveston, have a brunch reservation afterwards
Oh, nice.
over at San Luis, and then we're gonna head on back up. We were off this past weekend, so we just took it easy. We're off this weekend, so we're just taking it easy. I did on a personal, was that?
Was gonna say, I would think you'd be off this weekend.
Yeah. Thank goodness. I'm more than happy to be at home for this particular weekend. This past last couple days, I actually drove up and back to Lubbock in about a day to go meet my niece.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I went to go meet old baby Blake. Got to hold her, take the pictures and all that good stuff. So she's met Uncle Bob, and it was good. And,
Balake.
yeah, Balake. She is just so sweet. I'm very, very happy with mom and dad. They're both ecstatic. Things are going great. So, just really thrilled for my family. Glad that mom and dad, my mom and dad, oh, honey and grumpy now. They have their grandkid, and they're just about as excited as they are. So that's awesome to
Oh, yeah.
see. So that's been amazing. So can't complain about that. Life's good on that front. So be sure to follow us on our socials, guys. That's Roy May 15 on Twitter, Roy May Jr. on Instagram, Rob the Slapper on both Twitter and Instagram, as well as the Red Ass Podcast. And please feel free to fire in some questions. We were a little late getting it out there this week, and by we, I mean me. It was my fault. But in the meantime, we do appreciate you guys listening in. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, do all those fun little things. And do want to say one more time, just our thoughts and prayers for our friends over in Tallahassee. Hopefully they get that whole situation sorted, and those who are injured survive, and we can move forward from this horrible disaster that just took place on campus. So
Yeah. Hopefully this time next week, we'll be talking about a whole lot more diamond success. And hopefully by this time next weekend, we'll be talking about some more basketball transfers because we need them.
Desperately.
And then next week, we'll talk a little bit about the spring game. I know that it's weird how it just doesn't seem like there's any hype right now at all. But I think the whirlwind that is what looks to be a turnaround for baseball, and then just like the stampede that Aggie softball is on. And then you add in, I think people are they're just getting tired, man, with all this NIL stuff, and it's fan fatigue. And I don't think it's just us, especially when you look across the nation and all these schools are trying to figure out ways to not do spring games pretty much.
Right,
And
which
so
sucks,
but
but I understand.
next week we'll talk about the spring game, what we saw and what we liked, and so we'll make sure we tack that in, and hopefully, like I said, we'll have a little bit of basketball news to talk about. He was he's been on the PR tour around campus, and everybody seems to like him.
Well, and we haven't exactly done poorly since he's been on campus in all of our other sports, so that helps too.
You're saying we brought in a Bucky and things started getting better. Got it.
Crazy how that works.
All right. Well, I hope everybody has a wonderful, safe, and happy Easter weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
And just relax, kind of charge your batteries a little bit. This really is a holiday weekend. But yeah, other than that, I got more work to do. So
Yes, we got to get Roy out the door. He's got to go take care of some stuff. So I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening in. Take care. Beat the hell out of Missouri. Continually beat the hell out of Arkansas, beat the hell out of transfer portal stuff, beat the hell out of everything, beat the hell out of life, beat the hell out of the tomb.
and get it. Yeah, there you go. Be till all the tomb and get through the spring game unscathed. That's all I ask.
Giggle.
Yeah.